What's going on, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 91, and it is brought to you by Amazon. Go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon. Buy your stuff there. Helps us out. Helps our podcast keep going. Pays for mics and stuff. Of course, with us today is Bob. What's up, Bob?
What's going on, man?
Not much.
It's it's Sunday again, and I'm actually really tired.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had a little rough night last night. So.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
I don't ask details on that.
I don't have this often, so I'm hurting a little bit, but you know, things are good regardless of that. So I guess we should just jump right into reviews and news and all the fun tech stuff, I think.
Yeah, let's do it.
So this week we had two cool products to review, and the first one was one that we've seen for over a year. Something like that.
Just a bit over a year, that's all.
Yeah, it is the Inwin 805 Infinity, and this is, so I guess you would call it the special edition of Inwin's 805. The 805 by itself is already a pretty cool case, but what they did with this is they added an infinity mirror on the front, which basically is a mirror that if you put lights in it, which they have, it makes it look like the lights go on forever.
It's a two-way mirror on the front and then a regular mirror on the back, so it just reflects everything back into itself.
Yeah, so it's really, really cool. And what they've done is they added a RGB LED strip on the inside, and it just looks like, if you look at the front of the case, it looks like it goes on inside the case forever. Obviously, it doesn't. But it's just a really, really cool effect. It's so hard to explain. We have photos as well as a whole video on the case. You guys should definitely check it out, because it's a really, really awesome effect that they've done.
I would say, aside from that LCD panel that came out at, was that Computex, I think, where it was first shown, and then they had it at CES again this year? You know what I'm talking about? It's a clear panel with LCD built into it. Aside from that, like, this is right on par with that for coolness as far as exterior case features goes. It's sick.
Yeah, and we really haven't seen a whole lot of crazy innovation when it comes to the external part of the case. We've seen, obviously, the internals have changed quite a lot, and we see new things come along, but on the outside, it's usually the same thing, and I think this is really great. And, you know, this obviously is going to give you quite a lot of attention, whether you're at a LAN party or, even if you have this at your desk at your house, people are going to be like, what is that? And it's a good case, too. It is all aluminum, and it has tempered glass side panels as well, so it's not like some just crappy case with this put on the front. Fits all current hardware pretty well. Lots of room for hard drives in there, and they also include a second RGB LED strip, so you do have that tempered glass side panel, and then the second LED strip will actually light up the inside of the case as well. And they provide a controller that you can connect both to, so you can have them doing the same effect at the same time.
And that hooks up to your motherboard as well, right?
Yeah, so you can connect the RGB LED strips to the controller, or you can connect them to the, if you have RGB headers on your motherboard, you can go ahead and do that as well.
Kind of a key feature these days to be able to sync with so many, because, it's LED everything, right? RGB LED everything. So
yeah.
To be able to, have everything on the same page is pretty crucial.
Yeah, so you basically could have a system where the RGB LEDs of your motherboard, your graphics card, and your memory all sync up with the two RGB LED strips in this case as well, and that's just going to look sick.
How did you find the rear tempered glass panel when it came down to doing your cable management? Did it, drive you nuts?
It didn't drive me that nuts. If you look at the photos, my cable management wasn't the best. Probably just because I know, I'm going to be pulling the system out anyways.
We don't spend too much time on it.
Yeah. And, they do include, really heavy duty cable organizers. Not just the zip ties. These ones are the ones, that have the 3M backing on them. So you can kind of put them in, really organize your cables. So that helps quite a lot.
Big wide plastic clips.
Yeah, so they had that, which helped out quite a lot. For me, I wasn't really huge. It wasn't a huge deal, because, again, I knew I was pulling the system out. you know, quite soon after I put it together, which sounds horrible, but that's just kind of how I do things, you know. But yeah, I mean,
that's how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you're gonna get if you have two tempered glass side panels. We've seen that, you know. They are tinted, so if there's no lighting in the back, then you can go ahead and, you know, like, you're not gonna see it as much. There's no lights back there, so you're not gonna see it. That's pretty much, I don't know, that's pretty much it. I do think that the case is kind of basic on the interior. It's kind of just a big open case. There's not a whole lot. You have that hard drive cage, and that's basically about it.
So pretty much all the standard features, but not a ton else.
Yeah, it's not innovative as far as the internal design, which is fine. I think that having that big open design, and it is limited when it comes to water cooling as well. So you only have the front and the bottom, and put the bottom with like an asterisk because you have to move the hard drive cage up and all that. And yeah, so if you're looking
It doesn't look like you'd fit much more than like a 120 or maybe a 240 in the bottom either when it comes up to button up against your power supply.
Yeah, yeah. So it's very limited if you want to do water cooling. But again, I think this is kind of like a show-off case. It's a case that, you know, if you're just doing CPU cooling with like a 240 rad in the front or like an AIO, you'd be fine. But if you're going to do anything above that, you might have some issues. But again, I still think it's a great case, and I love that Infinity Mirror. It's one of the coolest things that I've seen. And their software that comes with it, you just download the software, and it works with the RGB LED strips. It's pretty cool. You can do like different things, like breathing effects and color cycle and all different kind of things. So pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah. So definitely check out that review. And again, as I said, we do have the full video on that as well. And our second review is a product we both have, actually. It is the Tessoro Tuned In-Ear Pro headphones. And these, while they are said to be for gaming, pretty much are like an all-around headphone, at least in my opinion, from what I've tested them for. So they are a earbud-style headphones, and they come in a nice carrying case that also has a adapter if you want to use this on your PC. And you have two extra sets of ear tips, all in this kind of hardened case, which is kind of nice. A lot of these earbuds around the same price range will have a carrying case, but it's like a little pouch or something like this. This actually will protect the headphones as well, which is kind of crucial, I would think. You know, and so yeah. And the as far as the earbuds themselves are all aluminum, which is really, or not aluminum, but a metal casing. So, you know, you can kind of be a little bit, you know, you can drop these and they'll be fine and things like that. But they're also magnetic, so the earbuds will kind of stick together. And that just helps you keep them organized, and it makes it easier to kind of wrap them up. They also have a flat cable design, which is really cool. So the flat cable is less likely to get tangled. They do say it's tangle-free. There's nothing in the world that's tangle-free, at least in my opinion. Yeah. So these will get tangled up a bit, but it's much easier to get them untangled because it is a flat cable design. Which is really nice. And as far as sound quality goes, I think these are, they say they're tuned for gaming, and I would agree with that. They are very tuned for gaming, not a whole lot of bass. So if you're looking to use this as an all-around headphone, you might be a little bit disappointed in the bass. That's kind of my only downside to these. But they're $34.95, which is like nothing.
I thought they were a little lacking.
Yeah, I think they're...
Yeah, I thought they were a little lacking on the bass, but not like terrible. I thought they were still... They're more neutral, I guess, but I guess that, to me, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, it all depends on the type of music you're listening to as well, or movie or whatever it may be, and how much you obviously like that big, powerful bass. If you like it, these definitely aren't going to be the headphones for you. But yeah, it's more of a neutral bass, which, if you're playing games, that's good, because when you have the powerful bass, that kind of drowns out the specific sounds you need in game. But for $34.95, I think it's a good headset. You know, and again,
it's a great headset for the price range.
Yeah, I think it's a great headset for the price range, and just that you get that carrying case, which again, it sounds small and everything, but you don't often see a hardened carrying case like that in this price range. So So definitely check that out. We also have a video on this as well as the full review, so definitely check that out. And we will move on to our articles this week. We have two, and of course it is the beginning. Well, it's actually getting close to the middle of the month, but this past week we had our 20 of the worst PC setups for January. And this is our article we do every month, where we kind of show off people who are either moving or just are slobs, or, you know, they're just trying to have their PC set up in whatever weird circumstance they're in. And it's kind of funny. Some of them are pretty bad. Some of them aren't so bad.
Some of them are just dirty people. Like, you just need to take care of your trash.
Yeah.
Others are like, really unfortunate. And then some people, it's just like, oh, that sucks.
Yeah, some people are like, oh, I had to move back in with my parents. I only have like this like little closet where I can play games, and they have their PC set up in there. But it's cool to see the extent that people will go to play either games or just get on their computer or have like that workstation. Some of these are rather interesting, to say the least. So definitely check out that article. It's one of our favorites we do every month, and it's just interesting to see how people are computing these days. We feel lucky that we get these nice desks that we have, and some people don't even have a desk or anything like that. So definitely check out that
article. Even if your setup's not ideal, like, it's better than like a lot of this stuff.
yeah, for sure. So definitely check out that article. And that brings us to Case Mod Friday, which of course is another one of our favorite parts of the site. And this week we have a mod that I think is amazing, and I say that about everyone, but this one's really, really great. This one's called Project Crystallized 570X, and it is a build done in the Corsair Crystal 570X, but it looks nothing like the original case. Basically, he turned the entire case into like an acrylic type build. Really, I guess you would call it neutral, silver and gray themed build, and it's just spectacular in my opinion.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic. You can see the accents from the original case on the front panel, and that's about where it leaves off. I love all the acrylic. I love that he chose to put lighting to shine down through the acrylic. Really cool. The water cooling isn't crazy, but like this whole, it's really more like, it's not a showpiece on water cooling. It's the whole thing is the build.
Yeah, and if you look at the case from the back, the back's panel, one, he organized the cables amazingly, and two, there's actually a reservoir built into the back panel.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And just like the colors that were chosen are really, really great. It's just such a good build.
I'm sure this just looks amazing sitting on your desk. I like the lighted base panel. I love that effect. You use the like a white piece of acrylic with lighting strips underneath it. It looks just fantastic with that light coming up from below. It's like a store show.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah, I can't say enough about this build. This is done by Daniel Twister. I can't even say his last name, but most people know him as Twister 98 GTX. We've actually featured a few of his builds over the past couple of years, so I would love to have this. There's so many great ones that we see, but this one, I don't know. This one really just stands apart for me. As one of those builds that's just so well done, and just the colors match everything perfectly. I don't see that there's anything out of place here.
I really like that he paid attention to the feet, and oftentimes the feet are like left as an afterthought, and then just I'll just put a post, you know.
But yeah,
like the feet like extend out away from the case a little ways, and they add to the aesthetic of it. So well thought out design here.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. So definitely check out this build. I said last week that was one of the favorites. I think I said that about last week's build, but this one is another great build. I mean, it's so great that we're having so many good builds come along.
If we can say that every single week, we'll sound like liars, but
yeah,
like, so far 2017 is crushing it for case mods.
Yeah, it's starting off to be a great year. So definitely check that out. And as always, we do have our full list of all of our Case Mods for like maybe 4 years now. And we do one every Friday. So definitely check it out. Case Mod Friday section on the site.
Someday cool we're going to have like the largest repository of Case Mods on the internet, I think.
I know.
Just from keeping at it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's every Friday. We I don't think we've missed one in a long time. So.
Yeah.
A lot of cool stuff there, but let's move into news. And there's not a whole lot of stories, but there's rather interesting stories this week. So we'll start it off with Ryzen. We talked about Ryzen pretty much all last week. That was the big the big news of last week. And this week we have a few Ryzen stories and a few competing Intel stories, which makes it even more interesting. So first we have the prices were leaked for the US and UK on Ryzen. So last week
before we say, what do you think? Do you think they nailed it?
If these are true, because these are leaked prices, but that this is an amazing price. Again, you know, AMD at CES did show us, you know, we've seen the performance and everything like that.
Yeah.
But if it's this price and you get that performance, that's awesome.
I would say kudos 100% to AMD. If this is the pricing, they listened, because this is what everybody said the whole time, and then they went above and beyond, I would say.
Yeah.
So let's say what do we got here?
Okay, so the flagship. So last week we went over the entire lineup.
Right.
So you should be familiar by now, but if you're not, the flagship part is the R7 1800X. That's the 8-core 16-thread part. It is priced at $490.29, so $490.29 US.
US. I think that's incredible. We thought wasn't the rumor 600
for that part? Yeah, something
and,
like that.
And that seemed like a deal, right?
Yeah, because
$490 is incredible.
So we don't know which Ryzen chip we're in the test. We assume it's this flagship R7 1800X, like everything that AMD had showed us,
right?
And everything that we've seen leaked, we assume it's this chip.
And this is the top end chip.
Yeah, if this chip is beating the Intel $1,000 or what, it's more than $1,000 processor, but to say,
it's about $1,000 right now.
Yeah, so $1,000 processor that you're gonna get for half the price. That's significant, and that's if once we get through these other stories, you'll see that Intel's a little freaked out about this. I mean, as they should.
I think that the fact that it's what we're seeing, like Intel will have for sure gotten their hands on some samples, right? Because they're a giant corporation.
Yeah.
And if they're panicking and scrambling, that means that this is, I think, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think it's gonna shake up the CPU market, and it's good. If anything, I mean, everybody was, at least a lot of people that I had talked to, were completely underwhelmed by Kaby Lake, and that Intel's going on this slower cycle now. So we have the 3-year cycle as opposed to the 2-year cycle, and all that stuff. You know what I mean?
They set themselves up to get like taken down.
Yeah, and that now that AMD yes, we've seen great benchmarks and things, but you have to see these things in the wild and get your hands on them and test them, right? Yeah. So
which we did play on one.
Yes.
And it played perfectly fine, which is what you want, right?
Exactly.
From a processor, you just want it to run flawlessly.
Yeah. So
and it did. So yeah, I mean, obviously benchmarks are really important, and gaming is not the only thing.
Yeah, and you know, certain processors or certain things perform certain ways on certain benchmarks, and they're only testing certain you know what I mean, like,
yeah,
I want to see, you know, the whole rundown of everything. But again, if it's at performance at half the price,
dude,
and there is going to be a good motherboard ecosystem around it, which we already know, like
my money is already leaving my wallet.
Yeah, really.
Essentially, you know, like it's like, yeah, it's like abandoning me because it knows that I need this.
Yeah, so that's the first part. The second part is the R7 1700X, and that is priced at $381.72. So about $100 difference, around $100 difference on that.
Which we don't really know any performance differences, do we?
No, but
because the only thing we've seen is high end.
Yeah. And then finally we have the R7 1700. That's the non-X version, which again, we don't know what that means yet.
We don't even know what that means.
It's priced at $316.59.
Right.
So yeah, so
The first two parts, they don't come with the new heatsink, right?
Correct.
So that's something to consider, I guess, in the pricing.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, most people, I mean, just like when it comes to the Intel chips.
Well, yeah, Intel doesn't sell them with
coolers, yeah, because either. Most people aren't going to use the stock cooler, especially when they're running a high-end chip like that. It's just kind of, you know.
Yeah, no, totally. It's just, but do we have the article about this week about the coolers?
No.
The coolers have been, like, kind of spotted, though. Okay. They are kind of cool. So, I mean, if you're not somebody that feels the need to, like, do aftermarket stuff and do water cooling, I think that it's a neat cooler. So it's...
Is it the same one that they use with the light-up AMD thing on the side?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so that's the same one they use for the
last... With RGB LEDs in it?
I don't think at least the last version didn't have the RGB, but if it's the same cooler, it is a high-performance cooler.
Yeah.
So... Nice.
You know, I think it is. I think it is that.
Yeah. So yeah, they probably just added the RGB, obviously, because everything is RGB.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the last version had the light up AMD, but I don't believe it was RGB. I think it was just white. So really cool stuff. That's exciting. I think that again, this is going to be a big shakeup, and it's something that I think has been needed for a very long time. And again, hats off to AMD for really knowing that they can't continue to do the same thing, and they really needed to change and completely design a new processor from the ground up. So
I think the most telling thing here is that they actually went with the pricing that, yeah, they could have easily gotten more money out of these parts based on what we think the performance is going to be. You can price way higher easily. You'll still sell, but in order to like dominate the market with this, they did the right thing with the pricing and they went way low.
Yeah, and I think too is that, you know, this first round of Zen chips, you know, you need to flood the market, right? You need to get people, just like how we talked about, you know, Windows when it came out, it was free because they wanted to get everybody on it.
If you want to get everybody on your product, you got to let everybody be able to get it.
Yeah, so I think the whole lineup's going to be rather inexpensive to get onto. So this is going to be really interesting, and that kind of brings us to our next story, which is the shipping date. And the shipping date, which again might not be official. It's one of these retailers that listed it. But February 28th is the official shipment date, which we heard March 2nd, so this kind of comes in line with that anyways. So in roughly a couple weeks. You know, it's pretty...
It's basically right where, like, AMD said it was going to be.
Yeah.
Towards the end of first quarter, so...
Yeah, so that should be a rather interesting time, and I think it's going to be super. I think it's going to be a super fun time for the industry, and just in general, just to see these new chips and see what all the hoopla has been about that we've talked about for the past year or so. So yeah, and now that we're gonna go to the Intel side of things, and obviously, as we talked about, Intel is pretty freaked out. We've heard rumors and people in the industry saying that Intel is really upset about this, and they're really freaked out over the price, performance, and all that kind of stuff. So it looks like Intel will be preparing two new processors to go up against Ryzen, and they are the Core i7 7740K and the Core i5 7640K. Now, the big difference with these two chips, or the big thing about these two chips, is the i5 is the one that really stands out more. The i5 will actually be fully it will have hyper threading, and that's not something that we've seen on an i5. That's why everybody buys an i7, because it has the hyper threading. So that would be the first time that Intel has an i5 chip that has hyper-threading.
Yeah, they kind of had no choice with this because AMD is giving hyper-threading on essentially everything, right?
So I believe so, yes.
I want to say, like, oh, they're risking devaluing their i7 line, but, I mean, you got to, you know, play to the market.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, they already did the dual core with hyper-threading with the i3, yeah. Which we'll be reviewing this week. And now that they have this new i5 that's going to come out, these will be, they're not going to be part of the current Kaby Lake lineup. They'll be part of the new Kaby Lake X lineup. And this was something that's really weird and that we had talked about last year, actually, is that Intel will be launching Kaby Lake X and Skylake X at the same time.
To confuse anyone.
It's very confusing. When I first read the story, like when we talked about it last year, it didn't make any sense that they're launching, because the X is the high-end desktop line, right?
Yeah.
But they'll be launching both Kaby Lake and Skylake. So Skylake's the one you're going to want to get. That's going to be the 10-core. Or 10-core chip, or the high-end, the really high-end chips will be
the one for workstation users.
Yeah, but then they're launching this Kaby Lake X, and it's going to be the same socket, which is the new. It's going to be a new socket. It's going to be LGA 2066, and the Kaby Lake X chips will only be 4-core, instead of, you know, the higher 6, 8, and 10 that we'll see with Skylake X. So it just doesn't. I don't know why these chips are being.
Is there a market for this?
I have no clue. I don't understand it.
Like essentially, it's buying. It's like wanting more features on your board. But what features are missing from a mainstream board that you get on workstation?
Yeah, and that's. I don't know.
Not if it's, much.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
It's the processor that you go to those boards for. You know, and if you're getting just this low-end processor, it's like having a GIMP processor on, you know, a system that could be much more.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
I don't know why you wouldn't just buy mainstream. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't... I honestly don't understand this. But that's apparently what these two new chips are, and that's what they're going to be targeted against. But this... The whole idea of it being on the LGA 2066 socket makes no sense to me. And the fact that, you know, when I originally... Yeah. The original story that we thought these were new chips, like just how Intel came up with the 4790K or whatever that was. The...
I actually have that.
Yeah, was that the Skylake chip? Or the... Whatever chip that was... That was like, we're doing this for you hardcore guys. Like, this will, you know what I mean? Like, that was.
Yeah.
Like, everybody thought that's what these two chips are, and apparently that's not what they are.
Yeah, they don't sound like hardcore at all.
Yeah. And they only get 100 or like 100 or 200 megahertz boosts over the current, like the 7700K. Like, it's just not.
We all know, too, at this point, like the clocks almost don't matter because you just overclock it anyways, right? Or do we just know that because we're enthusiasts?
Most people should know that. And the thing is, too, is like these aren't competition for that high end.
Not even close.
At least based on everything that we've seen. I don't understand why Intel thinks these are going to compete against Ryzen, because I really don't think they are.
Other than, like, saying, putting, like, the word, it does nothing.
Yeah, it's just not, yeah.
I mean, they win in the sense that we're talking about Intel right now, right?
Yeah, so, and I think
from
that's...
an advertising point of view, I guess it works. But, yeah. I don't know, I think that Intel is, they got some changes to make, man. Maybe some...
I love
Intel, and I won't stop liking Intel. Not a fanboy either way, but like maybe you need to get away from your old train of thought, you know?
Or this slowdown mentality and...
Yeah, exactly.
You know, enthusiasts want a high-end chip designed for them, and I think that's what... At least that's what the 1800X will be for AMD. Mm-hmm. That's designed for enthusiasts. It's high end. You know, that they want it for PC gaming. I mean, all the tests that they've shown at their event were centered around PC gaming. Like, they're like, this is a chip to use. This, you know what I mean?
That was, yeah. It was totally a gaming booth, right?
Yeah, so...
Like, the whole thing was gaming.
Yeah, so, I mean, Intel has a lot... You know, if this does do well for AMD, Intel... You know, we might see a new processor, like, you know, or a new way of thinking to really target those hardcore gamers, because hardcore gamers these days are spending money and buying a new PC every couple years to play the latest games and to do that. So it's going to be a battle.
And that particular portion of PC, it's doing fine, right?
Yeah.
Growth is fine in gaming, PC gaming. It's doing just fine. So, like, don't ignore that segment.
Yeah, that's the thing, is I think that, you know, Intel, not that I say they've gone off track, but a lot of their processors are designed for super low power, ultrabook type things, you know, when, you know, a lot of times, you know, I don't care about the TDP of my processor. I just want it to be I just want it to, you know, encode my video at that super, you know, like, yeah. You know, three times as fast as the next processor out there or whatever it may be. That's what is, you know, or I wanted to render my game and help that, you know, help my graphics card and not have anything, or I'm able to stream at the same time that I'm playing on the same system and you know, like all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
You know, so we'll see. Also talking about that, Intel is working on a new Xeon processor series called Xeon Gold. And these are made for media workstations, which actually is a pretty big market.
I would think so, yeah.
It's not huge, like it's not like an enterprise market or something like that, but I think that there are quite a lot of, I mean, you know, everything that we consume as far as media is rendered and edited and put together on these media workstations. I mean, that's kind of how the...
I would say it's probably a really, really fast growth rate segment, to be honest.
Yeah. And everybody's, I mean, that's what people are doing. I mean, even people, you know, I mean, I render on a high-end desktop chip, you know, and I think...
If you're making money based on, like, your rendering speeds, like, you know, because you need to create content, like, you should be buying the fastest thing you can afford for your business.
Yeah, so this, these new Xeon Gold processors are apparently, supposed to be competing against the R7 1800X in creative productivity applications. And, you know, there's a fear from Intel that AMD might take over that Mac Pro because the Mac Pros do, and AMD has a really good relationship with Apple anyways, because Macs do use AMD graphics. That's what's in the Mac Pro. You know, so there's a fear there. So, you know, what Intel is doing is they're introducing these, Xeon Gold series is, you know, being a high-end desktop processor, but the extra reliability that Xeon brings with it. And they'll be based on the, 14 nanometer Skylake EP silicon, up to 18 CPU cores. The first, model will be the Xeon Gold 6150. And that will feature 18 CPU cores, obviously 36 logical CPUs with hyper-threading enabled. And the L2 cache has been bumped up quite a lot. It's rumored to be 1 megabyte per core, up from 256 kilobytes. And there's about 24.75 megabytes of L3 cache. And the chip is clocked.
Stacked.
Yeah, the chip is clocked at 2.7 gigahertz and boosts up to 3.7. You know, I think that, you know, Intel needs, you know, in every segment now with Ryzen coming, in every segment, they have to be worried. And I mean, that's a significant amount of money. If Apple's like, well, we're going to put a Ryzen chip in our, in our Mac Pros, you know,
and worse than just Apple doing it, which I mean, is probably a huge portion, like a huge customer to Intel. I would say that would start like a trickle down effect where other customers would start looking elsewhere as well.
Yeah, and I think that, oh, your Mac Pro, this crazy designer who uses a Mac Pro, oh, well, he has a Ryzen chip. Well, maybe I'll build my own system with a Ryzen chip then. You
Yeah,
know?
if it's good enough for that, why is it not good enough for me?
Exactly. So it's interesting. So it's good to see that Intel obviously is doing something.
Definitely.
I think
They've had the ability to be really comfortable for a really long time.
Yes.
And I would say it's just about time that something comes along to push them. And now we can start making advancements again, like Pentium days, essentially, right?
It was it, that was a great battle back then, and then the Athlon like 64s came out, and everybody was like, wow, like that's I had one. I mean, that's what I wanted, and it's been a long time since I wanted an AMD processor, so it's a nice feeling. And I think that again, the end of this month, we'll see a lot, and we'll see performance, and we'll see what these things can do, so definitely definitely an awesome time. So
Science, yeah.
yeah, just a couple weeks away, so I'm pretty pumped about it.
Yes.
Yes. So another interesting story that was talked about was it last month or in December? But it looks like AMD might actually, we talked about AMD versus Intel on the CPU side, but it looks like Intel is going to license AMD's GPU technology for integration in its own processors.
That's
So
interesting.
if you do buy an Intel chip with integrated graphics, it's the Intel HD Pro, blah blah blah, or the Iris graphics in the, which are decent, especially compared to not having any. Or
They've come a long ways in recent
it's
years.
come a long way, which is great. So even with the Iris Pro graphics, like on a laptop, you can play older games like Counter-Strike type things or Dota, or you can play it on those, which is nice, if you're a casual gamer. But they're looking to do something even more. So it looks like these will be special processors made by Intel, that would feature an AMD Radeon GPU die and a CPU die, based on Intel's Kaby Lake microarchitecture. So imagine a chip that has a CPU die and a GPU die on it, and the die is not. It's a separate GPU die. So with the ones with the integrated graphics, the GPU components are on the CPU die. This will be two different or two separate dies, which is kind of interesting. So this is actually called a multi-chip module, MCM. And again, the GPU and CPU are completely separate. And it's interesting to see. Again, this is going to be more designed for mid to entry level. But I think it could open up a lot of possibilities of, higher performing tablets or laptops or things like that. And again, it's interesting to see that Intel is licensing something from AMD to use in their processors.
Very interesting. They've kind of traditionally gone with like NVIDIA parts, right? When they needed something other than their own parts for GPU or for
Yep.
yeah,
Well, this will be
essentially
the
GPU.
first time, at least in my recollection, that we'll have a chip or a processor that has a CPU die and a GPU die built into one, like that. So again, this could be something big. It's interesting. Obviously, us high-end gamers and enthusiasts, this doesn't really excite us, but I think it's a different segment this could really help a lot of people wanting to do certain graphical things in small form factors where you don't have that space for that discrete graphics card, in this.
Yeah, this is great for your Ultrabook, essentially.
Yeah, or something along those lines. So we'll see,
Yeah.
and we'll see, what all comes out of it. But we don't know. They said it could, we could see this ship within this year. So
That's cool.
obviously, once we know, we'll let you know more. But I think it's interesting. And our final news story of the day, which is actually pretty cool, is that MSI announced a new Arctic range. And the Arctic range, as you guess, is their white and gray themed motherboards, built on the Z270 and B250 chipset. These are part of their Arsenal gaming line. Which is made up of like their Tomahawk and their mortar. The mortar is the Micro ATX, and the Tomahawk is, we just reviewed a Tomahawk board from MSI and their X99, but it's sort of their like everything you need to get gaming done gaming brand. There's so many different gaming brands with all these motherboards, but they're the Arsenal Gaming is just like lower cost gaming, and what they've done, basically they're pretty much the same boards that have already been out, but they're now they're just white, like a white and gray PCB with gray and silver and white accents. I think they look pretty good.
Yeah. Well, especially with the blue LEDs.
Yeah. They look quite good. I don't know if there's going to be a price premium, possibly, because the PCBs are much more expensive to color like that or get like that, I assume. But now we have... Yeah. So now we have Asus with a white... boards, and now
yeah, it looks very similar to Sabertooth boards.
Yeah, and then we have now we have MSI, and then obviously we have Galaxy with all their white stuff. I think now you can pretty much build an all white system without any problems.
Yeah, basically.
So
it's kind of nice because we haven't been able to do that until recently.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool, and these boards are decent boards too. I mean, the MSI. I reviewed the X99A Tomahawk, and it's a good board, and it gives you all the features and none of the features that you don't want that are just kind of extra and dumb and, you know, you don't really need. So definitely check those out. I believe that they're out now. You could probably order them right now, so.
Cool. I think this color scheme is better than the traditional color scheme.
Yes.
I really like, I'd use the mortar in a build.
Yeah, board. I have their. You know what's funny is they just had sent me their Z270 mortar.
Oh, okay.
And now that the white ones are now just announced, I'm like, can I send this back and can you send me the white one?
can we trade?
Yeah, exactly. So talking about review stuff coming up next week, we have two. excuse me, we have two really cool products. First, we have the Giel Super Loose. I think that's how you say it. Super Loose, I think it's maybe I'm not sure.
However you want to go with
that. L-U-C-E, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think it's loose. Super Loose DDR4 3000 16 GB memory kit. So these are Giel's high performance DDR4 memory. They have light bars on the top that kind of pulse, and the light bars pulse based on the temperature of the module. So as it heats up, it pulses faster, which is cool. These have been out for a while, so it's not something that's new. You know, we're seeing RGB on all this stuff. So this is kind of, these have been out for almost a year now, so they've been out for a while. But they look really cool. I actually put them in that build, the build that I did on the 805 Infinity, and they look really cool in a build. So they have the light bars.
Are they just single color LED?
Yeah, so you can get them in a couple different colors. I think it's just red or blue. The ones I have are blue light bar with white on the heat spreader, and it looks really good. I'm sitting here actually on right now right beside me, and they look really good. So we'll have that, and we talked about it. I will have Intel's Core i3 7350K. This is Intel's first Core i3 processor that does have hyper threading. So it's just interesting to see that. And, you know, this is very low cost, between, you know, $170, $179. Great. I think this is great for a client system for somebody who doesn't need something like a Core i7 or even a Core i5, but you do get that hyper threading. So you do get four logical cores in there.
I think it's the coolest. Just saying.
Yeah, I think it's...
A dual-core hyper-threaded part is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
You can overclock the crap out of that.
Yeah, so I'm going to see how far I can take this thing on the setup that I have, and we'll have that review for you this upcoming week, so I'm pretty excited about that as well. And that brings us to the end of the podcast, and as always, we talk about if we've done anything fun. Did you do anything fun this week?
Seems like it. I bought a truck.
Oh, yeah. You did buy a car. Well, a truck.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you. I know I didn't. I haven't even asked you like on through Messenger or anything. Like, how's your face?
Oh, since I smashed it off.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. It actually healed really quickly, and my my crowns for my two front teeth are coming in Thursday. So
nice.
I've been using some fake ones, temporaries, for a little while.
That's so funny. So
I'm excited for my new teeth. Yeah.
Yeah. So well, that's good. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you do anything?
I went to Chicago this week.
Oh yeah, you did do that, which I probably should have gone down to meet you there, but.
Yeah, you should have. But no, I went to Chicago. My other business, I had a client there, so it was a good time. And one of the coolest things is I went to the John Hancock building, which I think it's like 100 floors or something, but there's a bar. Yeah. There's a bar on the 96th floor.
That's cool.
And I hung out there with my one friend, and we just like had some drinks, and it was just like, and we got to like, we like got up there at like 4:15 right before it got busy, and then we got like perfect seats at the window and like watched the entire sun. Like, we were up there for like 2.5 hours. Like, it was awesome.
That's perfect.
It's real trippy though, because like the elevator, there's like a special elevator that takes you all the way up there, and the elevator is like 45 seconds long. Like, it's so long.
and it's flying along too.
And like the elevator kind of shakes because like it is going up so high. And I shot a time lapse up there, and I'm pretty sure like because like the building shakes, like I'm pretty sure it shakes because my camera was set up like so it wouldn't move at all.
Yeah.
And it definitely like,
yeah, you had like blurred lights and stuff.
Yeah. So
yeah, no, they most of those buildings they designed to move, otherwise they break. So
yeah, but no, if you've never been to Chicago, it was kind of cold. The first day I was there was actually pretty warm. We had a warm spurt.
Yeah, it's been really odd weather in the Midwest.
Yeah, so it was warm like the first day and a half I was there, and then the other days it was kind of cold. But it was cool because I had only been there when I was like 14 or something, and I really don't remember it.
Yeah, it's a different city when you're an adult.
Yeah, so it was cool to see all the architecture, like all the buildings were cool. I got to see like Trump Tower and it's called the Willis Tower. It used to be called the Sears Tower. I got to see that. Obviously the John Han, like all of the architecture, even some of the smaller buildings are just really, really cool. There's a Chinatown there, so I checked that out. I had some awesome ramen. It was a good time. So
nice.
Yeah, if you ever have a chance to go to Chicago, and Chicago, I would say like the three big cities in the United States are New York, San Francisco, and Chicago.
No, LA.
But LA's not a big city. Yeah. Like a metropolis. No, it's not.
LA?
Yeah,
it's the second or third largest population.
But it's not a metropolis as in like there's not a lot of skyscrapers there or anything like that.
I guess it depends on if you're defining it by the architecture.
Yeah, so I'm defining it by like metropolis. So like when I like think of New York City, like that's a metropolis, right?
Okay. Go on.
You know, so the one thing that I thought was different about Chicago was it wasn't that busy. Like in New York City, like it's busy. Like there's people everywhere. Everybody's in a hurry. Like with Chicago, everybody was kind of just like, there wasn't a whole lot of people and it was kind of chill and everybody was actually nice. Like when New York City, everybody's like an asshole. So that was the big difference. But yeah, I always enjoy it.
I go to Chicago a couple times a year. I always enjoy it.
Yeah, so it was really cool. So yeah, next time I'll go. If I go again, we'll have to meet up. So that was my week. So yeah, I guess that pretty much wraps up the podcast. As always, guys, we will have a full show notes page that has everything that we talked about in all of the links, so you can read through everything and not wonder what we're talking about. You can read everything. And always Think Computers, all one word, and all of your podcasting software applications you should find us. So until next week, catch you guys later.